Adrienne, thanks so much for coming on. You're a DJ. I've learned
yeah,
that
DJ
today.
Legs.
I learned that you're a DJ today, which I'm excited to talk to you about. You have a radio show?
I am a co-host when I'm not on the ballot. I co-host both sides of the aisle with Natalie Gochner and Senator Dan McKay.
Okay. You've been a teacher, a nonprofit executive director of an art center, a policy researcher, a tour guide at a state park, and served our country as a Peace Corps volunteer.
Yeah.
Lived a fascinating life. What haven't you done?
Well, you know what I don't do? Something I don't do is hug my friends or go out to eat or go to movies because we are living in an unmitigated pandemic. So that's something I don't do. You know, something else I would say is I've never been a good tap dancer, though I sure tried when I was growing up.
So how do you learn to DJ?
You know, so DJ is definitely an overstatement for what I do. But what I love to do more than anything is a couple of times I've had the opportunity to play music for friends' weddings. And my favorite thing to do is to get a dance floor of people just like having the time of their lives and make it so that they don't want to leave. Like, I love it when a song is like ending and I can see them thinking about getting, you know, a drink of water, maybe going to grab a bite to eat, but then I pull them back in with another song. So that's my favorite thing to do. So I've done a few weddings for friends, and then I've done Pride. Actually, the last 3 years, I was able to DJ the last night of Pride in Salt Lake City, which was really fun too. But basically, I just play, I play the pop hits that you want to dance to.
I love that. So you mentioned the pandemic. Let's talk about it real quick. Obviously not slowing down. In fact, we're seeing cases spike over the past few weeks. How do you think the state's handled this?
Oh, not well, but I don't think that it's a bigger problem than just what the state is doing or not doing. We are in a situation different than any other industrialized country because we did not have a plan from the beginning that had any real logic to it driven by science. And in fact, we have a president who, you know, I mean, it's well documented at this point that he misled and downplayed what was happening in the early months when we had a chance to have a different trajectory than the one that we're on now. And frankly, he put states in a position where they had to compete for resources in a way that I think, you know, we can pat ourselves on the back on for how it made us feel when we came together to try to address some of the problems. But in particular, I think the testing deficiencies that are a nationwide problem, really not getting the resources that we needed into our community at the right time, not supporting our schools in the way that I think they should have been supported. There are many things to criticize. I know this has been a difficult time. We've tried to make difficult decisions at Salt Lake County as well, some that have been very unpopular. But ultimately, you know, where I'm concerned, and I think as a leadership team and our county, we're really concerned about that balance between getting the public health measures right and being able to keep our economy strong. We're lucky in terms of the overall economic outlook in our state. Salt Lake County is, you know, a part of that benefits from a really healthy and strong economy. But I'm very worried what the next few months could look like, especially if we see cases continue in the way and the positivity rate that we've seen over the last few weeks is really, it's a real problem.
We've seen a stark difference in the way Utah County has handled the COVID-19 and Salt Lake County. You're a Salt Lake County councilwoman. You have the mayor council form of government. Utah County has three commissioners. Second largest county in the state has three commissioners that govern the entire county. It's currently going through a ballot initiative, Prop 9, to change that form of government, not to the same as what Salt Lake County does, but it is going to a mayor council format and away from having three commissioners. What is your take on Prop 9, given that you serve on
council mayor, form of government? So I think there are a couple of benefits that I hope people will consider when they're going to vote. One is really about checks and balances. When you have those two branches of government and you have the ability to have that interplay, you really do have a greater opportunity for you know, I think responsive and responsible government around that form of checks and balances. As a person who was part of a very modest, but, you know, a small tax increase, I understand how politically challenging it can be. We had a just over 7% increase in Salt Lake County last year. In Utah County, you may remember that there was a 100% proposed increase in property tax, ultimately landing at a 67% property tax increase. I think you get into a situation like that when you have this concentrated form of government where people can continue to kick the can down the road. So I think it's good for checks and balances, for that kind of responsive fiscal management of something as large as county government. And Utah County is growing fast, right? So I think those are things that lead me to be supportive. And I you know, I hope the voters will also consider it. One other thing, I think there's something nice about that connection between your representatives. We have a 9-person council, which I think there's, you know, fair question about that number being, you know, 1 of 9 is a challenge. but it's also a real honor. It's an honor to work with, you know, 8 other people and try to find common ground and consensus. I think the proposal is not exactly like ours, but you'll get closer representation. And I think that's a benefit as well.
Yeah, I think it's a council of 5. They'd be part-time, and then the mayor would be full-time. I don't know. I was actually part of, for full disclosure for the viewers, I was part of like the some sort of commission. It was crazy, actually. They had me like swear to uphold the Constitution or something as we were like going over, like, and it was a bunch of people from Utah County and for some reason me. And we had like these conversations about whether we should stick with the current commissioner format, whether we should just expand it to 5 commissioners was actually something that was on the table, or whether we should go to the county council form of government. Unanimously, this commission came up with the recommendation to go to a mayor council. Form of government. But I believe it's 5 and then, you know, 1 mayor. Totally in favor of that. I'm on record as being in favor of that. Makes all the sense in the world. I don't know why we'd have 3 guys, and it's always 3 guys, be the, you know, run the entire county. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's a big responsibility. I can tell you, I'm also in a part-time role, right? So I serve, I have a full-time job and serve on the county council at large. It's a big responsibility, and just to even think about, you know, not being able to share that or having just to share that with 2 other people is really an overwhelming proposition in my mind. So I think you'll get a better representation, hopefully a really nice balance of government with a slightly smaller council and the mayor.
Yeah. How much fun are you having during this election cycle?
Oh, I have a lot of fun most of the time.
What's it like being a politician? I mean, it must be fascinating, right?
It's fascinating, yeah.
Because you're raising money, you're constantly, you know, being attacked, which is probably the craziest part of the whole thing. And you're constantly like having to answer for things that maybe you don't even have that much control over. And then you also are like in a position of power. And so, you know, people are trying to hold you accountable for that. What's the balance? I mean, what sucks the worst? I imagine it's raising the money.
Yeah. Raising the money is not fun. So if anyone here is listening and you see somebody out there that's running for office and you'd like to see them in office, go ahead and support their campaigns. It's hugely beneficial. I'm very proud that I ran for Congress in 2018, didn't accept any PAC money, really did a lot of grassroots fundraising. I'm so proud to be supported by, you know, a lot of just kind of your everyday working people in this state, and have, you know, a lot of the people who have supported me in the past are in, you know, jobs that have been hit hard in the pandemic. And that's hard for me because I know, you know, people are, they're looking for ways to help. They're looking for ways to get involved. And that's something that I've definitely noticed and have taken to heart in this election cycle. I would say one of the things kind of from just like the campaigning political side of it, I actually really love campaigning. I really try not to be part of, I think, the parts that we hate the most. You know, I don't call my opponent names, and I don't, you know, try to fundraise off of that. But I do think that there's a real question about what kind of people that we'd like to have in leadership across all levels of our government. Can they come forward with a message about something they care about? I got into politics around the issue of healthcare and really looking for ways that we can expand access, drive down the cost. And in county government, we're one of the biggest providers of mental health care and addiction treatment services in the state, just as a function of our population in Salt Lake County. I could not be more proud of those efforts, and I'd like to see them expanded. So the work really gives me a sense of purpose, but also being out there campaigning, talking to people. There are many tragic and horrible things about COVID. Kind of one of the more like personal, petty, small things is I just hate not being able to be at the doors, in groups, talking to people, having dinners, having house parties, whatever, all the normal things that really do, I think, make me a better public servant are really curtailed in this environment. And I think it's the right thing to do in terms of public health and what feels right for my campaign. And but I would say more broadly, I'm looking forward to opportunities to get back into those kinds of group settings, even with people who may not, you know, be interested in voting for me, because I am a better public servant when I just get more feedback and information from the constituents.
Well, you mentioned you ran for Congress in 2018. You ran against Chris Stewart. You actually came as close as anybody's ever come against him in the general election. It's looking like, I know that, you know, you'd probably disagree with the statement. It looks like he's going to get reelected. Are you going to run against him in 2022? What's the next office you're going to run for?
Oh, interesting question. The great thing about county government is that we get things done every week. So I think if you are a person who's feeling really frustrated by what you're seeing at the federal level, what you're seeing in Congress or in our Senate, which is a lot of inaction, county government and local government is really the place to be. You can get stuff done every week. We have currently it's a 5-4 split, so 5 Republicans, 4 Democrats, and we regularly vote unanimously. And so we are working really in concert. And I think that's something that with kind of all the icky stuff and the, I think, reasons that people tune out or want to tune out of politics, local government, and in particular, I think county government, I'm a big advocate, you can really get that kind of closeness of a functional government and see people working across partisan lines all the time. And I think that's good. So it's really good for me. And if I'm able to, if I have the honor of serving this in this role again, it's a 6-year term. So I'm hoping to get work done, good work done on, like I said, things like expanding access to healthcare. I'm pretty passionate about closing the gap that we have for children who are uninsured in this state. Looking at ways that we can really address more fully the mental health crisis that we have in this state. And I just think there's so much good work to be done. So I mean, nothing's ever off the table for me, but I would be honored to really just dig in and go to work here for the next 6 years.
Did I just hear you say, this is something I didn't know, Salt Lake County has 5 Republicans and 4 Democrats?
Mm-hmm.
So they have right. More Republicans than Democrats on the council?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody knows that.
Well, if you come and follow along on my Instagram, I'm regularly educating people about the very exciting and unusual and not often seen world of county government.
Finally, you know, assuming we get through this pandemic, which we will, we're resilient. And I think this country will get past it regardless of the mistakes that have been made, and the state will get past it. How do you think, what does Utah look like over the next 4 years, and how has it changed in the past 4?
Well, Utah's changed a lot. I think a function of just the growth that we're seeing, the fact that we are still a very young state, is something that I think is interesting. I think if you look at some of the demographic and political changes that we've seen, even in places like Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, really on all sides of us, there's good reason to believe that our state is changing too. And I think there's evidence of it, not just kind of what it feels like, but the passage of Medicaid expansion, the passage of the anti-gerrymandering efforts that happened in 2018, also medical marijuana, to me suggests that the voter population, which is only, I guess, what is it? It's not half of our state's population, but I think it was 1.6 million ballots went out in this election, but our voting constituency, when asked about actual issues, I think is much more kind of centrist than you would pick up if you looked at our supermajority Republican state legislature. So I think you're going to start to see some of that changing. And I think you're already seeing that changing with some of the votes that more moderate Republicans in our state legislature take regularly. So what I hope we see and what I think we have seen is that kind of pull to the middle. And it's also reflected in how many independents and unaffiliated voters we have across the state. People who are really looking for people to dig in and address some of the some solutions that are beyond needed on issues like homelessness, of course, our air quality, environmental concerns, protecting our public lands, which I know is a high priority for many people, and really addressing and planning for the kind of growth that we're expecting to see here before, I think it's another 500,000 people in Salt Lake County before 2050. So what I think we're gonna see, and this one's tough, but I think we're gonna see communities, you know, growing and changing quickly. We've already seen this. Some of the, you know, most difficult votes I've taken on the council are related to growth and development, housing developments. But I also know that 2/3 of the growth we're experiencing is internal. We still are lucky to have large families in the state. And those people want to live close to home too, you know? So how are we going to meet the demands of a changing and rapidly growing, you know, Utah? And for me, I'm really focused on Salt Lake County, while also, you know, meeting some of those other social needs that we have. And so those are the things that I mentioned before. I'm pretty passionate about mental health care, our addiction treatment services, really making sure that, you know, when families are in crisis, that there's a support system in place for them. So anyway, I think it's a bright future. I think it's an exciting future. I think the work that's happening, you know, attracting industries like Silicon Slopes, but also the just booming outdoor industry that we have in the state. So many things are changing so quickly. And I think that's exciting. I think it's a huge opportunity, but change is also hard, and I can understand that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're super busy. I know you're campaigning. Best of luck on the trail, and I'm sure we'll have you back on again at some point. Thanks so much,
hey,
my friend.
Happy to join you again. Thanks.
Justin, you're the head of elections here in Utah. Your life must be crazy over the past few months, and only made more difficult by fears with mail-in voting and voting by mail and submitting ballots. Utah's somewhat more accustomed to this than I think the rest of the country, but maybe, you know, the fears are ramped up a little bit more for obvious reasons. How long has Utah had mail-in voting?
You know, that's a good question. In 2012, there was a law that was passed that said any county could run their election entirely by mail. And so we had our first county, Duchesne County, do it in 2012. And then counties have come on board over the years since then. So back in 2016, the last presidential, we had 21 of our 29 counties voting by mail. And now we're up to all 29 of those counties voting by mail. But I should note that even before that, we had a lot of people voting by mail. Depending on the county, you could have had, you know, a quarter to a third of your voters voting by mail. So vote by mail is nothing new for us here in Utah.
Had there been any problems with voting by mail in the past?
You know, there have been little hiccups. You know, I think people have seen in the news that sometimes a county will send out a ballot that's, you know, missing a race, or that they send the ballots to the wrong people sometimes. So little things, certainly. But there was also, you know, little issues when we had in-person voting. You know, sometimes machines have issues. So I wouldn't say we've had more issues with vote by mail than we've had with, you know, traditional in-person voting.
And please.
Turnout, so it's a good thing.
Right. It seems like the turnout, even in the Republican primary gubernatorial race, was higher than ever. What was the turnout? It seemed like that was extremely high for
for the Republican primary. Well, actually, for the primary period, our highest turnout we've ever had in a primary. We stopped comparing to primaries after a while, and we were really looking to see if we would catch up to the 2014 general election turnout, when we were only a few thousand votes away from that. So huge turnout for the Republican primary. Even if you go back to March, where we had the presidential primary, we had record-breaking turnout for a presidential, and one of the parties didn't really even have a race, and yet we had huge turnout. So no question vote by mail helps turnout.
Do Utahns have an alternative to voting by mail?
They do. There's always in-person voting available, whether that's during early in-person voting, which is going on right now, or election day. Now, it should be noted, in the year with the pandemic, we really want people to vote by mail or drop off their ballot at a drop box if they can. The polling locations are there, really, if you need extra help, if you lost your ballot, you never got a ballot, you want to use the ADA machines. But that option is always there, and I anticipate will be there for a long time.
The president has, over the past couple of weeks at least, that I've noticed, started talking about poll watchers. And he's kind of encouraging, I'm actually not really sure what poll workers or watchers do. I assume it's legal to have poll watchers.
It is legal, and it's probably one of the best named duties. They literally just watch. They can either go to the polls and watch the polls, or they can go and watch the ballot processing. So if you want to be a poll watcher, you reach out to your county clerk, you register with them. But candidates and parties have historically had poll watchers on site, generally if it's a close race or in areas they think might be close or there may be an issue. But that's nothing new for us here. It's allowed. It's legal. It's just you've got to reach out to the county clerk and let them know you're going to be there.
Who should people speak to if they think something either with their ballot or voting in general has gone wrong?
The first place is the county clerk. The county clerks are the ones who send out those ballots. So they can cure any issue. If someone didn't receive a ballot, they can, look up their voter registration info and get them a new ballot perhaps. But county clerk is really the best resource. That being said, people can always reach out to our office as well, and we can get them in touch with the right people or find out answers.
Finally, I just wonder, your life is so intense right now, and it has been during the entire election cycle. When it's over, all the ballots are counted, everything's done, what do you do? Do you go on a cruise? How do you relax from that?
I'll sleep for like 2 days straight, I think. And I'm not even joking. And after the 2018 election, I fell asleep at like 7 o'clock on the Saturday night after the election. And my family just didn't even wake me up. And somewhere around 5 o'clock on Sunday, I rolled out of bed thinking it was like, 8 in the morning. I'm like, oh man, I slept really great. And I looked at the clock and I'd slept for like almost 20 hours. Something like that. But then, we'll do something here. It'll be, December will be a little quieter. Go on a trip maybe.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to, talk to us and our viewers on, everything happening. You're the head of elections. Appreciate you coming on, and I'm sure we'll have you on again at some point.
Hey, sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Justin.